Welcome to Cruise News, your daily update on everything happening at sea. Visit cruisenews.io to see today's stories and sign up for email alerts. So today we're doing a deep dive into how the big cruise lines are, well, really thinking strategically these days.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at this sort of triangle, you could say, corporate social responsibility, brand loyalty, and destination development.
Exactly. It's about more than just the next shiny ship. It's about the whole ecosystem reputation, keeping customers, finding new places.
And the source material we've looked at really shows some calculated moves, doesn't it?
It does. These aren't just fluff pieces. There's real logistics, real strategy behind managing how they operate, and frankly, how they keep you coming back.
Okay, let's start with that responsibility angle. Carnival Corporation, they're expanding their Less Leftover program.
Yeah, the meal donation one.
Into Latin America. Now, First thought might be, okay, good PR. But is this actually a significant logistical effort?
Oh, absolutely. It's tackling two huge things at once. Cutting down on shipboard food waste, which is massive, and helping with food insecurity in the ports.
Right.
And, you know, getting surplus food from a ship, keeping it safe, that cold chain, and getting it to local partners across borders. That's not simple.
Right. I can imagine. That's where those local partnerships must be absolutely key.
They are crucial. They're launching now in Mexico, starting in Ensenada plus Honduras, in Roatan, and the Dominican Republic, Puerto Plata specifically.
Okay.
And they're working with groups tied into the global food banking network, like Bancos de Alimentos de Mexico, the Catholic Diocese in Puerto Plata, even local government like Mayor McNabb in Roatan.
So establish networks on the ground.
Exactly. People who know how to get the food where it needs to go quickly and safely.
And this isn't brand new for Carnival Corp, right? Didn't this start a while back?
Yeah, it kicked off back in 2017 with Costa Cruises.
Yeah.
And since then, the numbers are pretty impressive. Something like over 300,000 meals donated across, I think, 19 places already. Spain, Italy, France, that sort of thing. So bringing this to Latin America now.
What does that signal? Is it just more of the same, or is there something strategically different here?
Well, the big thing is Carnival Corporation is apparently the first cruise company to ink formal meal donation deals in these specific Latin American markets.
Ah, okay. First mover advantage in a way.
Kinda. Vicky Ray, their VP for the region, basically said it's about giving back to the amazing ports that warmly welcome our guests.
Right. Building goodwill.
Exactly. It frames it as part of doing business responsibly, investing in those relationships. It really sets a standard now. Other lines might feel the pressure to follow suit, you know.
That makes sense. So it's about building that community trust, which is maybe a subtle long-term loyalty play. But let's shift to a more direct approach to loyalty.
Okay.
Norwegian Cruise Line Holdings LTD. Big news from them with this loyalty status honoring program.
Yeah, this is a pretty major shift. They're breaking down the walls between the loyalty programs of their three brands.
So Norwegian Cruise Line, Oceania Cruises, and Regent Seven Seas Cruises.
That's right. If you have status on one, say, Latitude's Rewards on NCL, they'll recognize an equivalent level when you sail on Oceania or Regent.
Interesting. So trying to encourage people to try out the sister brands.
Precisely. You might sail NCL with the family, then maybe try Oceania for the food focus, or even splash out on Regent's luxury later on.
But those brands are, well, they're quite different experiences, aren't they? From mass market NCL to ultra luxury Regent. How does that status matching work in practice?
They match the tier Latitudes, Oceania Club, Seven Seas Society, so you get similar types of perks. Things like priority boarding, maybe some drink benefits, special dining access.
Okay.
It fits into their bigger charting the course strategy.
Yeah.
Giving guests that flexibility as maybe their travel style changes over time.
That flexibility sounds good on paper, but I saw a detail that's causing a bit of a stir. It's per cruise.
Yes. That's the key limitation.
You have to request the status match before each cruise you take on a sister brand. It doesn't just carry over permanently.
Nope. You submit the request starting September 29th next year for cruises from October 15th, 2025 onwards, and the match status is only for that specific sailing. Then it reverts.
Hmm. That sounds like, well, a bit of a hassle for the customer, doesn't it? Why add that friction?
Well, you could argue the friction might be intentional, or at least a necessary control.
How so?
Think about it. If you grant permanent top-tier status across all brands, especially up to Regent Seven Seas, which is ultra-luxury, with very expensive perks.
Right, the cost implications.
Exactly. Making it per cruise limits that financial exposure. It keeps the highest tiers, particularly on Regent, feeling a bit more exclusive. It's an incentive to try another brand, not necessarily a permanent passport to elite status everywhere.
Okay, so it's a calculated trade-off. Offer the carrot of cross-brand recognition, but add an administrative step to maybe manage costs and protect brand value. How does this compare to what competitors are doing?
It's quite different. Royal Caribbean Group, for example, they have more of a permanent tier match across Royal Caribbean Celebrity and even Silver Sea now. Theirs feels more like a unified ecosystem.
Right.
And then you have Carnival Cruise Line, who are moving to a spend-based loyalty model in 2026, not just night sailed. So NCLH is carving out its own path here with this flexible but conditional approach.
Fascinating. Shows there's no single answer to customer attention. Okay, so from keeping customers loyal, let's pivot to attracting them with destinations. Story number three takes us to Wales.
Yes, Wales, which is really emerging as a maybe slightly unexpected cruise hotspot.
How significant is it?
Pretty significant for the local economy. Last year, nearly 80,000 passengers visited Welsh ports.
Wow, okay.
And the estimate is that brought in around £7.5 million in spending. Apparently, cruise visitors now make up something like 10% of all international visitors to Wales.
10%? That's substantial growth. Where are they primarily docking?
The main port is Holyhead, up on Anglesey in North Wales.
And what's the strategy there? Are they just building big terminals?
Not really. That's the interesting part. The focus seems to be very much on authentic local experiences, investing in quality cultural immersion, things that leave a lasting impression.
Instead of just generic souvenir shops.
Exactly. And local businesses are getting directly involved.
Like, I read about Daniel Jones. He runs a small brewery, Bragdy CB.
That's him. And his tours aren't just, here's some beer. He's apparently doing local history, even teaching visitors a few Welsh words, like how to say cheers.
Cytadda.
Probably. And his brewery is now part of official shore excursions for lines like Viking Cruises.
That's great. Real local integration.
Yeah. And there's another example. A farmer, Gareth Wynne Jones, planning to expand farm tours for cruise guests by 2026. It's about showcasing real Welsh life.
And this approach seems to be working, attracting the lines.
Definitely. Viking Cruises is a big one here. They really emphasize cultural enrichments, and they seem to like what Wales is offering. They booked 25 calls into Holyhead for 2026.
25. How much of an increase is that?
It's apparently a 40% jump for them in Holyhead.
Yeah.
So serious commitment.
That kind of growth, 40% from a major player like Viking.
Yeah.
That must create challenges too, right? Preserving that authenticity.
Absolutely. Jim Jones, who leads the local cruise group up there, acknowledged that. He said things look great, but they need to keep innovating.
Because the very thing attracting visitors, these small, unique local experiences like Daniel's Brewery or Gareth's Farm, could get overwhelmed if thousands of people descend at once.
That's the core tension, isn't it?
Yeah.
How do you scale up access without ruining the charm? The plan seems to be attracting more lines while carefully curating these immersive tours, really pushing the unique cultural angle as their advantage in Europe.
Okay, so that really ties everything together. We've seen Carnival investing in port communities almost as a cost of doing business responsibly.
Wow.
We saw Norwegian trying to cleverly balance loyalty across very different brands with that per cruise condition.
Right, managing that flexibility.
Yeah. And now Wales leveraging its unique local culture, not just to attract visitors, but to try and build a sustainable, high quality tourism model.
Yeah, the common thread is that success is increasingly defined by what happens off the ship. It's about port relations, customer strategy that spans brands, and how destinations can deliver authentic experiences.
It's definitely moving beyond just onboard amenities.
For sure. It's about the whole journey, the whole impact.
Which brings us to a final thought for you, our listeners. We talked about Wales and the incredible growth driven by these unique, small-scale local experiences, the brewery, the farm.
Mm.
As destinations like this see this kind of success, attracting major lines and more ships, how does everyone involved, the cruise lines, the local authorities, the small businesses themselves, how do they ensure that authenticity isn't lost? How do you provide access for potentially thousands of visitors without turning that unique local brewery into, well, just another stop on a mass tour?
That balancing act between growth and authenticity, that feels like the defining challenge ahead for many destinations. How do you keep it real?
Something to ponder. Thanks for listening to Cruise News. Visit cruisenews.io to catch up on the latest updates and sign up for free email alerts.